front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you. Today, we're going behind the screens with Ryan Srama.
Hello.
Hey, Ryan. So you've been all over the place. Give us a little breakdown about you and how things are going over there with Commerce Guys.
Sure, yeah. So I'm Ryan Srama. I've been in the Drupal community since about 2006. I kind of had my start as a module developer with UberCart, and then did that from Drupal on Drupal 5, on Drupal 6, and then did Drupal Commerce around 2010, not long after we started Commerce Guys. So this was a company that was originally developed to support UberCart, then became the creators of Drupal Commerce, where I led the development there, had partners, Screw, VC, blah, blah, blah. Like, a lot of stuff happened in the middle. Where we did build platform.sh, and then in 2016 split from platform. So now, all the partners that I had stayed with platform.sh and are continuing to grow that. And then I sort of reformed Commerce Guys just around Drupal Commerce and kind of refocused the business, got us back on just maintaining, contributing to delivering Drupal Commerce, you know, for agencies and teams and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, life these days looks like, you know, I'm leading Commerce Guys. We're a 7-person team now. I have two partners in the business, Boyan and Matt, who are the lead developers for Drupal Commerce 2.x on Drupal 8. I still maintain the Drupal 7 version. And then Jonathan Saksik on the team, who used to work at Commerce Guys, rejoined us last year. And we've added a couple other folks, three more folks to the team this year.
Wow.
Doing project management, development, and consulting. So, yeah, we're there.
So you said something earlier today. You were in part of a panel here instead of doing a traditional keynote.
Mm-hmm.
But you had mentioned something when you were up there about actually getting into the Android SDK
a
little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Commerce Guys, if you will, now has, you know, code in the Android SDK. So if you're developing an Android app, you might be using some code. I'll say that loosely from us. We weren't writing Java. We did contribute back to their address format and validation library.
Oh, cool.
So what happened was, whenever we began to develop Drupal Commerce for Drupal 8, we zoomed like way the heck out, because there was this whole like mantra at the time of getting off the Drupal island.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that conversation was about importing, right? So we need to get off the island by importing code from other communities into our project. We looked at it and said, yes, there's an opportunity there to maybe import code. We looked at other general commerce libraries. What could we use? Are there data sets available to us, like the currency localization database, that's CLDR? And when it came around to like address formatting localization, we looked around like, well, shoot, what is there that we can bring in? And Android happened to have this big set of rules for generating address forms, validating the zip codes, states, all that kind of stuff. And so we decided we were going to do both importing and exporting. So we started using their data set to create an addressing library that's generally usable around the broader PHP world. So it's just a standalone PHP library that handles address management and uses the Android SDK's data set to power the rules and validation formatting and all that stuff. So, you know, as that's gone on, we've contributed back fixes to their data set as we discovered problems or had users contribute back problems. So yeah, that's just part of our getting off the Drupal island story. We're exporting as well as importing.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but that's really a cool thing to do, to be able to be a part of. Android's a huge market right now.
So
there's more that we could do. I think you're right. In Drupal, we think of, can we leverage, you know, Twig, Symfony, we're bringing these things in, but how much could we actually give back?
Yeah, can they leverage our addressing library? Our VAT library is in a software as a service commerce solution called FoxyCart. Symfony itself is looking at adopting our currency localization code as well. So, you know, there's things that we know as Drupal developers that we actually have done better than other communities, and we can begin to push these things out now that we have Composer and we're part of the sort of usual seat at the PHP table for developing PHP code.
Wow, that's really interesting. How cool. So what exactly does Commerce Guys do as a company to earn money, to earn revenue? Are you working with companies to help them implement their own, like their cart situations or their own payment processing? Or do you have your own products that are working for you?
Yeah, if you remember the old kids song from Vacation Bible School or whatever your background was as a child, there was that song Deep and Wide.
Yes.
There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Okay, so we have a deep strategy and a wide strategy. Not inspired by the song. This is a bit of retconning. but, you know, at the broad level, we make money by integrating technology partner services and then helping people be successful with them. So whether that's PayPal or Braintree or Authorize.net, Avalara, which is a sales tax solution, MailChimp, Nosto for product recommendations, all these things that kind of connect to e-commerce as a concept. You know, we try to bring these modules to the Drupal community and then help those companies reach our user base. And so just by virtue of growing the Drupal Commerce project, we then get revenue from that in the form of affiliate commissions and referrals, that kind of stuff, uh-huh. or just outright like module sponsorships or marketing sponsorships, that kind of stuff. So that's the wide strategy. Mm-hmm. We want as many people as possible to be able to use Drupal Commerce and our libraries. And we want to do that on behalf, not just of the merchants, but on behalf of these software vendors or, you know, third party vendors to, build our income stream that way. The deep strategy is what you said first. It's consulting with teams primarily, whether that's another Drupal agency, a non-Drupal agency, or a merchant who has an internal team that needs e-commerce expertise. They would bring us on board to do like what's typically referred to as like staff augmentation, mm-hmm. right? So we might be a part of their project 2 days a week, 3 days a week, or whatever. Or if it's not like an ongoing gig like that, it's usually like a real specific mission, like an architectural workshop where we architect a specific thing, or a performance and consulting or performance and stability, or sorry, scalability, sorry, performance and scalability workshop where we like hammer the crap out of their site with the locust swarm, if you're familiar with the load testing stuff, mm-hmm. and then optimize like what's breaking down at scale. Where we hope to be, if you will, is to kind of have a relationship to Drupal Commerce like a traditional software vendor would have to their flagship product. Thus far, you know, Commerce Guys has more or less been kind of a professional services maybe agency that people didn't really know what we did or how to work with us. And so that turned off some merchants, it turned off some agencies, and you really can't be all things to all people. Mm-hmm. So we really want to kind of like dial it back and focus on enabling teams to be successful. And we kind of look at it as providing, you know, platform tools and expertise to help other teams like a Lolabot or like a 4Kitchens or an Acromedia or a BlueSpark really do like the innovative work with their clients because they don't have to think about the commerce infrastructure anymore. So that's
sure.
kind of where we're trying to head. So
yeah, because the commerce piece is it seems simple from I think the user's perspective. Like I go online, I see this thing I like, I put in my credit card, my information, I buy it. They take money from me. Yeah. On the back end, it is worlds more complicated than that because mm-hmm. you're dealing with things between states, states and provinces,
taxes,
between
yeah,
countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like the type of product may change the kind of taxes you have to assess if you're in Europe, for example. It's like a physical product. You're taxed at the – I'm probably going to get this backwards – at the place of origin, and a digital product, you're taxed at the place of supply.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
The rules
I probably got it backwards.
Insane.
Yeah, and they change all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And I think like our biggest budget projects or clients – probably like from the outside would look to you like the lowest budget project, but they have so much going on behind the scenes in their ERP integrations, subscription management integrations, marketing analytics. Like there's so much that you can do on the back end that you just wouldn't even think.
Wow.
You don't even know.
So if there's somebody who wants to get into taking online payments, what's one piece of advice you would give to somebody who's facing that challenge?
Yeah. The Drupal world is a bit more builder-oriented than in user-oriented, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, with WooCommerce, you just go in the back end of your WordPress site, say you want the WooCommerce plugin and probably pay a few handful of fees here and there to get their plugins, and you go. With Drupal, like you have to first install all the Drupal Commerce modules, configure them, make sure you know what your product display is going to look like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you still have to come to the payment piece. We are adopting like a lightly more opinionated approach for Drupal Commerce to make it a bit more out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to be as easy as a WordPress, but it will be easier. And part of that has been Making, like, as a first-class citizen, if you will, the kind of payment API that mitigates your most of your compliance requirements as it pertains to credit card security, mm-hmm. payment card security. And so just as an example, Braintree is a PayPal company, and they funded some of the early work on the payment API for Drupal Commerce 2.x. And what they do is they have I think they may have been the first to take this approach where they manage the collection of all of the payment card data, right? You don't have to worry about securing your site. You need an SSL certificate because you should have an SSL certificate.
Right.
Even if you don't have e-commerce, you should have that. But then what happens is we've integrated it such that it will automatically turn the checkout form into like a little series of iframes that are served from Braintree servers. So even though you're looking at your domain, mm-hmm. the actual credit card data entry is happening on a Braintree server, never touching yours at all, right? And so that's very important for PCI SAQA. This is like the lightest like compliance level, if you will, mm-hmm. Because payment card data never touches your server, never touches your database. All that happens is when somebody hits the submit form on the checkout, we then fetch via JavaScript a token that they give us. It says, this token represents this person's credit card, and you have an authorization to charge it for this amount of money for this amount of time. Right? So you don't really have to think about the security of it. You just have to know that these kinds of APIs exist, and that we have integrations for Braintree's hosted Fields API. PayPal has Express Checkout, Authorize.net. We integrate their AcceptJS API. Basically, like every major payment company has this kind of an API, mm-hmm. and that's what you're looking for. Square is also similar. We've integrated them recently. They joined us at DrupalCon Baltimore, and we're presenting that as well. Amazon Pay, et cetera, et cetera. So we have, I think, like a half dozen different payment providers that we work with as what I call technology partners for Drupal Commerce. They're kind of like first class. Like, these are the ones that they've sponsored the development of their modules. They've certified it. They've said, this is definitely secured. It's the way it needs to be implemented. You've done it right. Yay, commerce guys. Mm-hmm. And we now just distribute it for free on Drupal.org and help everybody learn how to use it. So it's not... I remember the first time I met a friend of mine who was doing e-commerce. And she was working on a car dealership or something that... I don't know if they were actually taking payment or if they were just using credit cards to validate identity. I can't remember exactly how it worked. But when she told me that she was doing like managing credit card forms, I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's got to be like crazy, right? There's no way that you can possibly securely manage credit card data. I just thought it was like the craziest thing that I had a friend who did that, right? And fast forward, you know, a couple of years and I suddenly created UberCart. And found out it wasn't that mysterious. But still, like... everybody has that same like, oh crap, what do I do? Like, there's no way that I can do this. And it's not that hard. Payment companies are doing the lion's share of the work. And mm-hmm. then you just have to know, like, hey, I need an SSL certificate. Hey, I should probably be using version control. Maybe I shouldn't put my API keys in my database. It's, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you had Chris Teitzel on the podcast recently, and he has his Locker product.
Right.
Right. So you can do API key management through Locker instead of stuffing it in your database. Or if you're on a hosting platform, like platform.sh or others. I don't know. There are other passes or other Drupal platforms that I would recommend. Mm-hmm. I don't know their capabilities here, but you can use environment variables. So you put your API keys in the environment itself, and then you don't have to worry about, you know, those getting out of control or, you know, somebody submitting fraudulent transactions using your API keys. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's important to know.
So looking to those modules would be like the e-commerce modules that you guys have written takes care of the lion's share of the work to get things set up. So that would be, if you're looking to get started with that, that'd be the place to go, is check those out. It integrates with those payment gateways to get to like Braintree or Authorize.net, like you're saying.
Yeah. And you know, I'm in the process of like planning the rewrite or the rebuild for DrupalCommerce.org to really highlight who these kind of like certified vendors are, if you will. In the meantime, people can always just like ping us on Twitter, but we talk about them in sessions, and we also have documentation for all these. One member of our team who joined us in February, Milan from Belgrade, Serbia, a big part of his job is to work with these payment providers to make sure that we're marketing them properly, to make sure that we've documented them. He's done video tutorials and stuff to help people learn which ones are out there and how to use them on their Drupal site.
Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
Hopefully we'll do more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's take this and flip it a little bit now.
Okay.
You've been around the community for a while, and you've attended a lot of conferences, a lot of camps, and so I know you've done a lot of traveling. So,
yeah.
What's the most exciting trip that you've taken?
You mentioned the keynote panel here at Drupal Camp Atlanta. And we were asked this, like, what was your first aha moment?
Right, right.
Right. And one of my very first aha moments with respect to the Drupal community was going to DrupalCon Barcelona in 2007. And I don't think I can overstate how influential that was for me in realizing that there was a community of people who knew me. They knew my code. They wanted to contribute to it. They wanted more out of it. I could meet their requests. I also learned at that conference that people made a lot more money than I was being paid at the time. So I used that to negotiate a 66% raise whenever I returned home.
Wow.
That was like really incredible for me to just understand this is the industry I'm in. Mm-hmm. These are the people that I collaborate with. And there's like, there is a future for me in this. And oh, I love traveling and meeting people from around the world. So I've honestly had a lot of great trips. I really enjoyed our time together in Bogota, Colombia.
That was fun. That was a good time.
we did talk about this earlier. Chris's wife was trying to help me futilely, I'm sure, learn how to salsa dance. But better her than the stranger that I asked to help me, who was a good sport about it for a song or two. But that was a fun trip because, again, it's really out of your element. And mm-hmm. you just get to experience a new culture, eat a lot of meat, and just have a good time. But I really treasured my time in Paris. And so I kind of developed a habit for a few years of, I probably still kind of have the habit of the last night of the trip, just kind of staying up all night and like experiencing the local experience. That's what took us to the salsa bar in Bogota.
Right.
That's what took me in Paris to, random hotel bars in Montmartre to watch the sunrise and all that kind of stuff. We did the same in Amsterdam and on and on. I mean, this isn't a Ryan's travel blog podcast, but suffice it to say, I've had just a lot of amazing experiences with cool people and cool places. And like, it's totally thanks to Drupal. Like I never imagined myself doing this before. part of the prototype there for me was, Ernest Hemingway, F. Scott Fitzgerald, James Joyce, etc. in the 1920s in Paris. And Hemingway has these memoirs called A Movable Feast. They kind of talk about this kind of like, let's go get the local experience. We'll go to this restaurant, that music venue, this bar, this underground speakeasy, this, you know, like realizing that you can still have that kind of experience if you're just willing to go meet new people and enjoy a new city.
Yeah.
that's
so fun.
It's fun.
Yeah. So if this is the question, everyone gets this one.
Okay.
If you woke up tomorrow and the internet was gone, so no more credit card payments over the internet, what would you do with your time? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah. I would love to have just a coffee shop / craft beer bar where I may be roasting, maybe brewing, but at the very least, like serving people a beverage either to wake them up in the morning or to loosen their tongue in the evening, and just like help people just have a place to go and experience like life and friendship and community and connections with like their people.
Yeah.
So like I work, we're fully distributed. So I work a lot from my friend's coffee shops in Greenville. South Carolina, Methodical Coffee is amazing. I do a lot of work there and they're so friendly and so like meaningful to me. Like mm-hmm. if that coffee shop ceased to exist, like I'd be really sad. And I love good coffee. Like Colombia was an amazing experience for me going to Cafe Devotion, Amor Perfecto. These are some like the top roasters in South America and getting to experience their coffees was amazing. Took some home, wowed my friends, did the same for Drupal Camp Costa Rica, going to farms, bringing home some natural, light roasted beans from Cafeoteca in San Jose. Like I love good coffee and I also love like craft beer and the sort of the culture behind it and the variety and the experience of it. So something like that. I really love my local community and, I love my job. I love my company. I love this community. But very little that I do, aside from spending the money I earn, impacts my local community or creates the kind of spaces that I love to hang out in.
Yeah.
Whether that's my craft beer garden or my friend's coffee shop or the restaurants that I really appreciate. I'm in the middle of my first project to kind of make an impact on our community that is a housing development that I'm part of the founding team. I'm not the money guy or the guy with the experience in the industry, mm-hmm. but it's a housing development oriented around organic farms and gardens and vineyards and the like. And so you get a lot, and then part of instead of an HOA, you basically just have a CSA with a caretaker who's there to keep up the vineyards and the greenhouses and the like. And you just sort of get the advantage of living where you also garden and, you know, recreate yourself with trails and rivers and all that kind of stuff. So it's called Riverstead. It's online at riverstead.com. It is a Squarespace site. But, you know, that I think is kind of like my first foray into, okay, let's build a physical space and then hopefully take from there friendships and resources to do Riverstead Brewing, perhaps. And I often joke with my buddies that own Methodical that my goal is to make enough money as a software developer that I can retire to be a barista. So to kind of flip-flop the the career schedule there and just serve people good coffee and, you know, make them feel special.
I like that. I'm on board for that. All right. Well, man, I like to wrap this up by giving some thanks and gratitude. And it's funny because the number of interviews I've done so far, you have been the answer to this question for a lot of people, which is awesome. So if there is somebody who gave you a little shove when you needed it along the way in your career, or, you know, opened up a hand when you were struggling.
Yeah.
Is there someone you'd like to say thank you to or share some gratitude with?
Yeah. Let me share gratitude with two people.
Sure.
We talked about this before, and I couldn't...
it's hard to narrow it down to just one.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever I rode UberCart, I had no clue where this was headed. And I was just working at a restaurant equipment supply company, so I was literally selling blenders on the phone, and then I'd go back to hacking on Drupal, sell the refrigerator, go back to hacking on my code. And I didn't really understand like where this was going to go. But in the Drupal community, Mike O'Connor approached me to start Commerce Guys. And so... You know, he approached me with the opportunity, and then his relation, Robert Douglas, who was at Lullabot for a long time, then was Acquia, now is at platform.sh.
Right.
So he joined me at Commerce Guys eventually. But he was a big reason why I chose to start Commerce Guys, or join it with Mike and Tim Hill, my two co-founders. And so definitely like really grateful to him for kind of just like... I would say that he really just believed that not just that there was an opportunity, like anybody could say, oh yeah, there's an opportunity in e-commerce. I mean, that doesn't take a whole lot of insight to say, but believed in me and my ability to be successful at that. And so I really credit him with pushing me in that direction, even though I had other opportunities. I mean, I'd been in the Drupal community. I had a pretty good profile and could have gone to work for any of the Drupal companies that were out there. But starting something new just seemed, you know, like he made it seem achievable, and it's worked out well.
Yeah,
I'd say so. And then also just like as a Drupal mentor, I'm really grateful to Dries as the project founder. I feel like I've gotten more than my fair share of mentoring and help and encouragement from him. And, you know, whether that's, you know, in Bogota going for coffee and just talking about life and about business ownership and child rearing and whatever else it is, like I've really appreciated his friendship and his encouragement, because I think... to most people, he seems maybe like unapproachable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, he's got to be so busy. I won't bother him. Or maybe I'll just come up close enough just to take a picture with him, you know.
Sure.
But then I'll let him go on his way because I don't want to hassle him. But like Dries is very supportive and a very friendly, encouraging person. So he's helped me out a lot with e-commerce guys to think through the financial side of running the business, of being in a startup, of just personal finances and saving for retirement and all that kind of stuff. But he's also been very supportive of us doing Drupal Commerce, especially since the spin-out. I mean, he gave us a lot of props at DrupalCon Vienna. That was really cool. And I think people also don't expect that, because they look at Acquia and think, oh, well, Acquia is just a Magento partner. They don't really care about Drupal Commerce. But anytime I see that complaint, I actually, like, it misses the mark for me, because I know that Dries is very supportive. I know, you know, other people on his team are very supportive, and we're actively, you know, engaging with him around promoting Drupal Commerce. So I would just say that, like, he's not as unapproachable as he may seem, and he's been very kind and gracious to help me in a variety of ways. So I definitely consider him a mentor. And I mean, I really could go on. Like, Jeff Robbins has been huge for me, and Matt Westgate, very encouraging. Angie Byron, very friendly and encouraging and warming and welcoming. And so just a lot of folks that I feel like have really helped me go from literally having just a Bible college degree in theology to like understanding technology, the opportunity, how to build a business, how to grow as a person, as a husband, as a business leader, as a team leader, community, like in all these ways, like the Drupal community has been my guide and mentor. So
yeah,
thank you to everybody and to everybody that I forgot to mention. Thank you.
there are so many people.
It is... Fred Play, my former partner and our CEO at Commerce Guys, again, very encouraging. So, and I'd say, like, I don't know if that's unique to the Drupal world, but at least, it's been so encouraging for me to be a part of the community that it feels like it must be unique.
Right.
You know, otherwise I'd hear people gush about their communities like I gush about mine.
Right.
I don't know.
Very nice. Hey, well, thanks for taking some time. This was really great, Ryan.
My pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Whether you're learning how to build sites with Drupal or diving into the code, there are community-powered camps, summits, sprints, and trainings happening all over the world. Find all of these and more at drupalcal.com. And of course, if you want to boost your Drupal chops from the comfort of your own home, point your browser to drupalize.me and stuff your brain full of carefully crafted videos and tutorials.